We are Brightside.
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's chilly in here.
It's getting chilly in here. Huh? You like that?
It must be Christmas. Yeah.
Must be.
Exactly. I don't know. Which one did we go with? I have two of them here. Is this one or do you like that one better?
The smaller one, I think. The smaller snowflakes. Yeah, because that's distracting with this bigger. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's
there
a better
you go. All right.
I know. I've been watching the snowflakes more than the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Enough about Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You heard it. You heard it here first. We all went with smaller.
Well, you know,
I mean, if you have to, if you have to be there, smaller is better.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've heard.
Yep. Exactly. Oh boy,
how we doing, fellas? How we doing? How we doing?
Great.
Been better.
Oh man, there we go. Hopefully, we'll keep you entertained and mind off the illness stage. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, so it's a tough time of year, you know. So, all right. So, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Busy as always. Busy. Good to be here. This is what Mondays look like on the Bright Side Home Theater podcast. It's all a bit weird, Deech. It snows on Mondays. Yeah, very strange. Tomorrow, if we come back in, it'll all just be plain old, blue background.
No. This isn't a Monday thing. This is December. It's December.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. So, yes. Yeah. Well, I have seen a holiday movie this week, but not the one that many people will think about, I'm sure.
Frosty?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You said you heard, did you hear the one on hashtag dork? Steve, when they were talking about Frosty,
and
Keith said he wanted to see the Snyder Cut version.
Actually, do you know what? I think I did hear that.
Yeah. It was awesome. I was cracking up. I was like, how have I never thought of that? Not that I'm a genius or anything, but he was talking about, what's her name? The little girl's name's Karen. He had just watched it with his daughters. And he was saying, he's like, right, Steve? He's like, they go to commercial when they go into the greenhouse, they come back and he's a puddle on the floor and he goes, I want the Snyder Cut version. I want the outtakes of where Karen's going, no, how do I stop this? And Frosty's melting and Davey's like, he's burning to death on his terms, right? And how do I stop this? Ryan shouts out, he goes, pick up one of the plants and break a window, Danny! It was awesome.
Yeah.
They acted out the whole thing and it's so funny because it's so true. Like, he doesn't just turn into a puddle.
He's melting. I'm melting.
Exactly. Yeah, which we know from Wizard of Oz.
We do.
Yeah.
I'm last week.
Yeah, we went over that last week. So
we did. Let's not revisit that. Trauma is a thing I don't wish to re-experience.
Exactly.
I've got to say though, Deej, do you know what? I mean, because you did whet my appetite with this and say how good it is and all the rest of it. But every time I see a clip on Twitter of them being interviewed, the two actresses, I'm reminded why it is I never need to ever see that film.
Why?
Oh my God, they are insufferable. And I like to think that I am, I'm fairly easygoing, as it were. I'm not woke, if you want to call
easy
it
easygoing,
just about. But with these two, they are insufferable. The way they interact with one another, and the interviewer is just like, oh my God, like flipping, take me out the back and shoot me. Because anyway, and in fairness, it's only little clips. Maybe they're not like that normally, but the bits I've shown just make me not want to go near it.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, that's the problem, is if you judge anybody on a clip or anybody on a...
Yeah, well...
That's the point of the movie, actually. It's like if you judge anybody on something so, like, small, then, you're... as they say, like, you know, most negativity is based in ignorance. Once you get to know something, you'll be like, hey, that guy's pretty cool.
Yeah, but the problem with the press junket is, isn't it supposed to be little snippets that make you want to then see the movie? And yeah, unfortunately, these little snippets make me want to, you know,
gouge my eyes out. And
So it's not for you.
This is what we've discovered. Look, I'm the minority because it's going gangbusters.
Oh, yeah.
They've made masses of money. They're making all the money. So, you know, it's just me. It's just me. I get that.
Yep.
But yeah, so otherwise, though, all good. All good. Been a busy week in the theater. Seen some great stuff. Nice. And I'm going to put John a little bit on the spot when we get to some of these as well. Because, Deej, you and I have just talked about one particular thing, but I want to put John on the spot in a nice way. About something in particular, which you and I have already talked about, Deej.
We'll okay.
Oh, I can't wait. You know how I love being put on the spot.
Yeah, we all do here, actually. Yeah. We do love being put on the spot.
I think so great on my feet.
Yeah.
That's why you sat down.
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually are pretty good on your feet.
I'm okay, but.
You're okay.
Yeah. It's not anything. It's something fun.
Okay. You've been hanging with us.
Yeah,
you've been hanging with me forever.
Oh, yeah. You keep a man on his toes. That's for sure.
I try.
All right. How did the drawings go, Deej?
Done them yet. Eddie's traveling. I was trying to organize it to join with him. He's traveling, so I'm after this show. I organized everything actually yesterday. I went through all of the entries. I got them all into a sheet and I've got everything organized. That took me a while yesterday. We ended up, our podcast, donated between donations directly to Davey and then through the podcast alone, we donated just over $1,500.
Cool.
So thank you to everybody that donated everywhere. I really appreciate that. That includes the patrons. That includes all the patron money, the people that gave boxes of popcorn, people that donated that I could see that I knew over on Davey's page. So, you know, I thought that was great. I went and tried to look last year and we gave I think it was $500 was last year, but that was like off the top of our head last year. So, I think we can do even better next year. I've put in a little bit more effort ahead of time, I hope, and get things really rolling. I made the donation yesterday, last year he did like $5,000. This year when I did mine, it put him at like 53, I think, or something like that. So
awesome. $53,000. Wow.
$5,300. He's done. He's done well. And we did well. I thought that was really good for us, for our listeners. So thank you to everybody that participated in every way. And you know, even the people in the 25-hour show that, you know, came on and I mean kept me going. And so that was awesome. And so I'll be recording a show right after this for that. So that for our Takeover Tuesday, and I'll have the winners on tomorrow's Takeover Tuesday. So there's a tease. So.
There is one slight sad moment that I think we need to acknowledge, Deej, before we move on.
Another one?
Well, that is the death of whatever was living on your top lip has clearly shuffled off, moved on.
He was gone yesterday. Think
we should take a moment of silence to respect the fact that it's no longer with us.
There we go. Finally.
I quite liked it, Deej. I thought it was kind of cool.
Like Frosty, he'll be back next year.
You'll start growing it now, would you, bud?
I literally am starting. I'm going to take the month off. I'll start January 1st. I'll be like, there we go. My New Year's resolution. It'll be coming back. You'll start to see like glimpses of it in like August. I had a lot of people.
It is kind of, it's very cool. It's very East Coast. The moustache kind of, you know, again, the handlebars, the bushy moustache. It's very East Coast. I think it's cool. So it needs to come back. We need more of it.
I had a lot of people say that. A lot more this year than last year. People say, oh, man, man? I was like, what do you mean, oh, man?
He was never staying.
No, I don't like the feel of it. I honestly don't. I don't know how long you have to keep it to
get used to it.
Like, I didn't like the feel of, like, even like laying down on a pillow, I could feel, I was like, ugh. I was like, what's that on my lip? Oh, that stupid thing. It's like, it's stuck there. It was like, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
You do get used to it, but you also if you've got a certain, you know, length of it, you have to put kind of like wax and stuff in it, don't you? And kind of to take away the itch, which sometimes people get as well. So you oil. Have to kind of, wax, what am I talking about? Yeah, oil. So you have to do all that too. So it requires, you know, maintenance, which is kind of, you know, the opposite of what you'd expect with that. Cause the idea with facial hair is you haven't got to do anything with it.
Right.
So, we've got a resident expert here.
Yeah, I was say, yeah, oil, oil every day. So. Yeah.
Really?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that do?
It just keeps it. Yeah. Keeps it from itching. Keeps it from getting dry under the skin from getting dry.
There you go. See? Our resident expert. Now, I think for next year's for November then, John, you're going to have to just shave that bit and leave the rest.
I've had all kinds of variations.
Well, that's a lot of people, that's what they do.
I've had the goatee, then I've had the full beard and gone back and forth. So,
I think it's time we see photos of these. I think tomorrow we need to see some.
Oh, they're out there somewhere. I'll have to find them.
I can see it now. You know, who was the name of the painter that had the big afro?
Oh, Bob Ross.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that now, John. I'm seeing it.
Never had that, but
it's a matter of time.
Yeah. My hair doesn't go that way.
Hey, neither does mine.
True.
Alrighty.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say that's how they said, like, people that have beards, like for Movember, they actually shave the beard and leave just the mustache.
Yeah.
You know, just to be like, what did you do that for? Because, like, if you've never had just a flat, and you have had that, John, I know you've had all the different things, like you said, but it would be a break from your reality right now.
Yeah. I've had the,
if you will,
I've had the full beard for several years now.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. As long as I've known you, you've had.
At least 10 years at this point. So it's been a while.
Time to start playing.
Once I had a job that didn't care. Usually it was work that dictated what you could do and what you couldn't do. So, beard talk with John.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. There we go. This is men's grooming with DJ Steve and John.
Yeah.
And now I'd look about 25 years younger if I shaved it off because it's all white. So,
yeah, man. I think, well, it's the season for that though, John. I mean, you know,
I just need a red hat and a
done and belt. All righty, let's talk movies then. Come on, we've got plenty to talk about.
You want to get?
Oh, actually, no. Do you know what? I haven't said hello to everyone in the chat.
So yeah, there you go.
So I don't think I did that last week. Oops. Right. So, TSG was first in, local boy, TSG. Hi, buddy. Van Gool's in. And these people deserve a special praise because it's a Monday, you know, it's the night that most people are drinking themselves into a stupor, knowing that they've got a long week ahead at work.
Right.
So they're tuning in is good to see. So, Rage is in. Hi, Rage. Steve At is in. Fred's in all together now. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred. This has been a Hey Fred
That's not
production.
All together now, guys. Yeah, I know.
Well, again, we have to know it's coming.
Yeah.
She said. Oh, anyway. Carl's in. Hi, Carl.
Leave it.
Sorry.
I'm not
going back to that.
Give it a PG for Steve.
Yes, Steve did say PG.
Good God.
Yeah, it did. Dom's here after having done a long 420-mile trip in the south of France. Goodness me, he's got bad. But you're not getting any sympathy for that, Dom, because south of France is beautiful. So, yeah. You know, 420-mile round trip, you know, no sympathy here, mate. And we've got, I think, Bill McAllister dropped it. Yeah, Bill said hi via X. Hiya, Bill. Plenty of people in and more besides looking at the numbers. So if you're in and you want to say hello, do drop us a line and we will take the Mickey out of you. And also say hello.
Yeah.
All right. Movies.
Movies. What do we want to get to first?
Take your pick. Take my Mr. Briggs.
I got to find something here to get me going. Here we go. You want to do this for fun?
Yeah, I could do. Do you want me to do all three fairly quickly?
Are they in a row? Do I have them in a row?
Yeah, there's all three. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all there.
The other one's over
here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then and then there's the next one, which is the.
There we go. Yeah, go on. Yeah, they're all in a row. So you see the row. Yep. This is the rows right here. You see, boom, boom.
Yep.
That good?
That's the one. Yep, yep. That's all it. Right. Marshall, we can do these fairly quick because they're all part of one collection. So, yeah.
Yeah. All righty then. What? This is. There it is. Boom.
Yeah.
Go push play.
Not the right sounder.
What he said.
Yes.
What he
one
said.
Of us quit night. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. I'm a little off my game today, boys. Sorry about that.
Hey, you're all right, buddy. No worries. No
lot,
worries.
Lot going okay, through right. my head.
Somehow that suits this movie anyway. You know, putting exactly. one thing on and doing something else fits it nicely. All right. So this then is the newly released 4K Zazz collection. Z-A-Z, not Z-A-Z. ZAZ Zazz collection, Zucker, Abrams, and Zucker collection of three movies in 4K, Airplane, Top Secret, and The Naked Gun, and released in a little bit of a tragic twist, although I also think perhaps that Jim Abrams might have quite liked the idea that this was released on the day he passed away. So, yeah, Jim Abrams, one of those three, sadly passed away last week, and we have got his works to appreciate. And that's why this week I wanted to see all three. One, I love these movies. And two, it seemed like an appropriate tribute to him. Okay, so this is the first one then. So Airplane, one of, if not the funniest films of all time. I think for me, it's got, and Deej, this is what you and I talked about. And this is why, John, in a minute, I'm going to ask you what your favorite movie comedy is of all time. Okay. And we talked about this because we talked about Blazing Saddles a while back. And, Deej, you had Dumb and Dumber. And then yeah. I had Life of Brian from Monty Python is just a hair above this, but this is very close to number two, if not some days number one. This film is just a riot and very, very funny. And I've seen it 60, 70, 80 times. I don't know, millions of times. And I love this film. And this is the first time though I've seen it in the cinema room. So, and I was too young to see this in the cinemas when it came out. So this is a 75-inch screen, biggest I've ever seen it. And I noticed a number of things I'm almost ashamed to say that I've never seen before, despite the number of times I've seen
really?
It. I never realized that in the Mayo Clinic that behind him, there are jars of mayo. I had never
noticed
that. Oh
my God. That's awesome.
I'd never noticed that before. So I'm seeing that going, oh, right. Okay. Fine. You know, I'd never do that. I just thought it was a setup for the line, give me ham on five and hold the mayo. That's what I thought the whole thing was. But actually behind the doctor, there are jars of mayo. And also one of the x-ray scenes, you can see as they're walking through the x-ray machine, someone in their stomach's got scissors. Things like that, which I'd never noticed before, which is just a quick sight gag that's there and gone, and I'd never seen it. So anyway, but I love it. It's very funny. This movie is timeless. It never dates, never ages. It I say timeless. Some of the attitudes towards women and race might have changed a bit, but the film it still is very, very funny. I love it. And yet it's never looked as good as this. All three of these movies look and sound as good, if not better than they've ever looked before. The 4K, it's not, you know, it's not night and day, and it's not a completely different movie. This is not Terminator or Twisted Each. We're not going to add this to our, you know, remasters.
No.
But it does look though very clean and very bright as well. Like you could all, like the actor's eyes are almost sparkling, which is great. And so for a movie that everybody loves, I think, I've never heard anyone say they hate this film. For a movie that I think everybody loves, this is the best it's ever looked. And interestingly, it's in DTS HD 5.1. And at the beginning, obviously, you know, you get the Jaws stuff. Spoiler alert, anyone.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, you get the Jaws music and obviously you get the plane, fins going backwards and forwards. When the plane comes right at the screen and goes up and over in Neural X, that goes right over the top of the screen. So for a comedy that has no other kind of real audio sonic, things to recommend it, you do get an overhead sonic effect, which is quite cool. Nice way to start it. And then they all just go silent for the rest of the movie. But otherwise, it's very good. So I loved watching this again, and it's very cool to get this as part of the collection. So yeah, very cool. So should we do the next one? We'll move on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this when I saw this one show up, I was like, oh, what fake Dougie?
Now, this is, I think, has become for a lot of people that aren't like us, film nerds, you know, HT nerds. I think Top Secret, which is this second one in the collection, is largely forgotten. I don't think many people have remember this that are not into this stuff. And yet this really does stand shoulder to shoulder with Naked Gun and with Airplane, maybe a little bit below. Excuse me. Sorry. Done a lot of teaching today, a lot of talking. So it does stand pretty shoulder to shoulder with them. I mean, you guys presumably seen this, like this, love this as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's great. I mean, I didn't notice anything in this I haven't seen before, I have to say. But it's still very, very funny. My standout stuff for these, the names of the various French resistance soldiers are fantastic. You've got Montage, you've got, Flambé, and then of course, Deja Vu, who then says, have we met before, monsieur? Which I just think is genius in every way. So it's such a good film, and again, doesn't date. Love it. Very, very funny indeed. And I mean, and what's the link to Batman in this, by the way, guys? The link to Tim Burton's Batman?
Well, he's not
Tim Burton's Batman. Schumacher's Batman, in fact. But what's the link?
I was just saying, besides Val Kilmer?
Yeah. Other than that, who else is in this that's in the Batman movies? Michael Goff is in it, who plays Alfred.
Oh, really?
He is in this as well. He's a scientist. Yeah. So you have a link to Batman. Oh, wow. There we go.
Yeah, I wouldn't have remembered that.
Yeah, no, me neither until I saw it.
Until you see it, you go, oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There he is. Yeah. And again, looks really nice. They've cleaned it up very, very well indeed. So it's Paramount release for all of these. And so it's nice and clean. Again, looks bright as anything, exactly as you'd want. And then the sound is, I mean, it is what it is. It's 5.1, DTS HD 5.1. But these movies are not sonic experiences. These are movies to they're just dopey fun movies.
Oh, my God.
And they've never looked better than this. So it's
the one with the fake doggy do, right? Is that
what yes.
What? Yeah, it was like, you left your fake doggy do outside. Omar Sharif. I was like, what fake doggy do?
Yeah. I mean, tell me this, guys. In what world did they manage to persuade Omar Sharif to be in this movie? You know, I mean, he must have not read the script, or he read it and thought that it was just a straight movie. He didn't realize that it was a silly comedy.
People can have senses of humor. You know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I think prior to Airplane, I mean, Leslie Nielsen was a serious actor as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
but that's what made him so crazy.
That's right. That's what made him so good in the movies, though.
Yeah, because he just played it deadpan, and he played it as like he always played everything, like a drama or whatever. And then, but you're doing it in the context of this ridiculous comedy, and it made everybody, that's what made it so funny, the juxtaposition. Yeah. But yeah.
And of course the backwards Swedish shop thing with Vincent Price is fantastic as well. And always funny and well worth seeing. And apparently as an extra on this, they run it the proper way. So you can see what actually happened as well.
Sight gags, everything they did. Oh. It was just ridiculous. I mean, this play, what year was this? Was it?
80? Oh gosh.
It was on. I watched it on a loop, it seemed like, on HBO as a kid when we were in high school.
I think I'm going to go with 84. Let's see what happens. Right, survey says. 84.
Oh, I want to say it was before Top Gun, too. Before
well,
he
that was
86.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
This was his first film. Yeah. This was Kilmer's first movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, he came in out of nowhere. I mean, had quite a bit to do with this. I mean, Elvis numbers and stuff and dancing and everything else. I mean, it was quite good. But
goes
from
this to be an Iceman. Come on.
Yeah. Very different. Very different. But yeah, it's great. So it's such and I think it is underrated. Again, I think for those, it's a PG, and the English discs, by the way, still have the American, classification on them. So it's a PG. I would caution against watching this with young children, though. I'm a little bit surprised these are PGs because there are, you know, naked flesh and, you know, some of the humor is, his manager's got a love marital aid that he goes off, which they said, wasn't it? This is the German chap says that he takes this marital aid home to his hotel, and he said, our greatest surgeons worked on him for 2 hours. It took him that long to wipe the smile off his face.
Yeah. God. Yeah, this was before PG-13, though. That's why.
Yes, it was PG. It does say PG-13 on the thing, but
yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, some young children, you might have some awkward questions on this. As you might, Mikey. So, so it was just dropped in. But it is so good. It is very, very good indeed. But again, largely forgotten, I think, apart from people like us that, you know, like our movies. So which leads us then to the last but not least.
There you go.
Which I think you might have mentioned when we talked about this before. Is some of your favorite ones. And this is then the last of the three, which is Naked Gun in 4K. Bizarrely, not the second or the third one, which is a bit odd, but not 2.5 or 33 and a third. Yeah. So the original Naked Gun. But again, though, this, like the other two, has been really polished up. It looks great. Very, again, I can only say bright and colorful because they all look very similar in terms of how they've been done. So never looked better, never sounded better than they do. And you know, so the nice beaver gag is never
that's,
been funny.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. The one when you said with the last movie and you're like, the things they would do and say, and I'm like, nice beaver. Thanks. Just edit stuff. And she pulls down the beaver.
It's fantastic.
So great.
So this is a great collection. I mean, over here it's £60, so it'll be probably $60 bucks in the US, which is not too bad for three all-time classic comedies. And I said one on most people's funniest film of all time list. So very, very good. Well worth picking this set up. I really enjoyed it this week, not just to pay tribute to Jim Abrams, but as a collection as well. It's very good. Although I am hoping at some point they will release Airplane 2, the sequel. But that has a little bit of a dark kind of thing to it, whereby the Abrams brothers and the Zucker brothers did not agree to the sequel. The sequel was done without them. They were asked to do it by Paramount, said, why would we want to do that? And Paramount went ahead and made it without them. And according to the commentary that I listened to of them, they've never seen Airplane 2. They never watched it. Mm. And yet I think there are some bits in Airplane 2 that are absolutely fantastic and are very funny. The Star Trek gags are all very, very funny with the, you know, the doors where they say shh, shh, every time the doors open, and things like that. And there's a great trial sequence, which always makes me laugh my head off as well. So I'm hoping at some point we'll get Airplane 2, but until then, these are very, very good indeed. Very cool. So John, funniest film of all time, in your opinion, please, buddy. So you've been given some time now.
Well, and I've already cycled through about six movies since I've been sitting here because I keep thinking of others. But
I had two, so I didn't even just have one. Deej was good. He had Dumb and Dumber. You know, that's
I'm going to just say Young Frankenstein.
Oh,
that's great too,
Mel Brooks.
But I have at least five that I considered while we were sitting here. So.
Oh wow!
Yeah, what are your other ones?
It'd be Holy Grail was one. Yeah. Blues Brothers, I really like quite a bit. Yep. Airplane is there, of course. Underrated, maybe not straight comedy, but Midnight Run is I find hysterical. So just quite a bit, but. It's probably Mel Brooks. It's either, you know, Young Frankenstein or History of the World, you know, one of those. Yeah. So
they are good.
There's so many and it depends on the day, right? Like depends on my mood, but.
Well, there's very little, I think, as subjective as comedy.
Right.
You know, one person's kind of absolute fall on the floor laughing is another person's, oh, that's stupid.
Right.
And I happen to
people get
know
offended.
Someone quite close to me.
Yeah, like it's supposed to be a joke if people get offended. And you're like, it's a joke, people. It's like, that's the point of it. It's like,
someone quite close to me absolutely just thinks this stuff is just stupid. And it's just like, what's funny about that? Right. Well, and if you have to explain it, it's not funny to that. But you can't, no matter how you explain it to that person, it ain't going to be funny to them. You either respond to it or you don't.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Airplane features on so many lists, because it's broad humor. You've got different types within the single one. So you've got slapstick, you've got wordplay, you've got kind of sitcom, situational comedy. You've got all this kind of thing within one movie, which is probably why it plays to such a broad number of people. Whereas, you know, perhaps Top Secret's a war movie, you know, and taking the mickey out of war movies, if you haven't seen them, you're not going to get the jokes. And Naked Gun, similarly, although that I think does have wide appeal as well.
I mean,
very, very good.
Unfortunately, I can't remember what it was, and I'm irritated with myself, but something I was watching about a week and a half ago, had me literally rolling off the couch. Like I could not stop laughing. I don't know what it was. But the thing is, the whole time, Lydia is just looking over at me like, what is wrong with you? Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's not funny. I don't know what, but man, I wish I could remember what it was because I literally laughed for 10 minutes. I just kept thinking about it and laughing. Could not stop. So it might have been a TikTok. It might have been a YouTube video. I don't know what it was, but she was just like, what is wrong? What did I marry? Like, what is going on? What's happening in my life that I'm sitting next to this guy? So,
but that then makes it funnier, doesn't it?
Made me laugh even more.
Right. But what's the, like you said, it's like, it depends on your mood because you'll come back to it later and there's nothing worse than when you come back to it later to show somebody. Right, you're like, watch this. Funny. And even you are like, yeah, it's really not that funny. What was I looking at?
And it was probably something just stupid, like somebody falling and like some YouTube short or something. I don't. Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah, like you're like, you don't get it. You're not understanding. It's so funny because of this. Then you come back like a week later and go, what was I seeing?
But so that's comedy.
That's where the line had to be there comes from. It's like, I guess you had to be there. Yeah, sorry. I know Dumb and Dumber is my number one because like all the ones you listed, John, are great. They all are. They're all awesome. But if somebody asks me, I can't even think of anything else. I just go Dumb and Dumber. Probably because I'm just dumb and I can't think of anything else. So I relate to the title, but it's like, you're just like Dumb and Dumber because that just resonated with everybody or around. It was just everybody around me. It was just like, and I'd seen all those movies before. I think Airplane, my parents took me to see for my birthday when in the theater.
How old would you have been, Deej?
Was that 80?
81?
10 or 11.
Yeah. So, okay.
And you're like, most of it went over my head at the time, but then later like, my parents took me to see this and it was a big deal. Like they, for your birthday, they take you to the movies and the Ground Round in Framingham. That's what we had to drive from. Yeah. And it was like throw the peanuts on the floor and all that. Love that big deal. Yeah. Yeah. They're coming back. I heard
they're coming back. I saw something on Facebook.
Yeah. Theo's in the chat. PTA. Oh, huge, wicked great
comedy. Recency bias, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it Thursday, but.
Yeah, that's Thanksgiving. It's, there you go. But yeah, PTA, it's like, those aren't pillows. They're all like hysterical, but yeah, that's why I always just go right to.
Steven Duck Soup. It was a classic, right?
And the producers as well. Yeah. Another Mel Brooks, wasn't it? The producers.
Yeah. Producers. Yeah.
After I'd done the basic kind of, qualification here called the GCSEs, I did an A level, which is an extra qualification in history. And we studied Nazi Germany as part of that. And the teacher that took it, he was a really nice guy. Was fascinated by all things Nazi Germany in the right way, not the wrong way. And the producers was the other thing. And so every now and then he would just come out with, don't be stupid, be a smarty, come and join the Nazi party. And just, you know, he would then just dissolve into paroxysms of laughter whilst we were kind of like, what the hell are you on about? Right. But then having seen the producers afterwards, it's very funny. So there we go. Oh, and Jordan said, Jordan is betraying his age. Right.
The mask. Yeah. One of
his favorite. See, you know, definitely betray, although it then says the lady killer is 55, so maybe not. but I think the mask is someone of a certain age, you know, very, very good film. Good film. But there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Right. There we go. Put that to rest then. That's it.
There we go. All right. I got, boom. Boom. There we go. All right. What do we got next for John here?
No matter.
What's that?
No matter.
No matter. No matter. Where are yours? They're there. Oh, let's do this one. I want to hear what you have to say about this.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Let's not go push play.
What he said.
Okay. Well, late to the party once again, but I picked up, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga on a Black Friday deal and, got the 4K disc Saturday, watched it yesterday. I will preface my commentary on this movie by saying that I've never been the hugest fan of the Mad Max saga in general. Like, I think they're all largely fine, but not my favorite movies, you know? This, I think, for me, is the best of the bunch, you know, of the saga. Like, I enjoyed the movie, the story of this, more than any of the others. I was a bit put off by Chris Hemsworth and his character. But the movie itself is enjoyable. I know you guys have already both talked about this, so I won't spend a million years on it. But I did enjoy the movie. I went into it, you know, with moderate expectations and kind of enjoyed it. As far as the disc, though, like you guys both mentioned, stunning. I mean, there's just no other way to to put it. I mean, this, well, apart from another one that I'll talk about today, but is not from this year, so it wouldn't count. But yeah, definitely in the running for disc of the year. As far as I'm going to have one for next week that may give it a run for its money. We'll see. But yeah, sound is stunning. Visuals are stunning. Again, it's just not really a lot more to say about it. It's thoroughly enjoyable. I had a great time with it, and we'll revisit it again, as opposed to, I mean, I've got the entire series on 4K and I don't know when I'll ever feel the need to pop one in and watch it again. But this one, when I was done, I kind of wanted to watch Fury Road again. So I think it will, if nothing else, those will be the two that'll stay in rotation for me.
Have you seen Fury Road in 4K yet, John?
I have. And I did. Okay. Right. I did. I think it's great. And I did enjoy it. And again, out of all the movies, that one probably would have been my favorite prior to this. But I actually thought this, I thought the story was great. Like, I really enjoyed her background and what they did with her. Her, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy is great. You know, definitely a worthy predecessor to Charlize Theron. And yeah, again, other than the weird accent of Chris Hemsworth, I mean, his character was fine. It was just his portrayal of the character that rubbed me a little bit wrong. But yeah, like I said, it's a lot of fun. And like I said, a great disc. So,
yeah. How many times on the podcast have we said Anya Taylor-Joy is great?
Every time a movie that she's in comes up.
Yeah. when we think of Last Night at Soho, we think The Northman. You know, movies like that. I mean, we've talked about
Queen Gambit. Movies
like that. I mean, if she's in the film, it just. I mean, New Mutants. She's in that as well, isn't she? She just can't do a bad performance. She just seems to be – just to elevate every movie she's in. Yeah. Very, very good actress. Yeah, really good. Anyway, sorry, Deej, you were going to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, this – same for me. It's like with this movie, it's like it actually elevated Fury Road for me.
Right.
I kind of the way Guardians 3 elevated Guardians for me. And the entire, like, Guardians 3 came out, and after the theater experience, I was like, oh my God, this entire trilogy is just, like, been ramped up. And it's, Guardians has always been one of John's favorites. It's one of Keith's favorite, or hashtag dork. It's everywhere. And I was always like, why is everybody? I'm like, it's great. I love it. But I just never elevated it like they did. It was always in there, like, your top five, right, John? Like,
it's
in my
top three, really.
Yeah. And I always had it maybe top 10 because I liked it. But then after three, I went, oh my God. That got elevated. But same with this. It's what this did with for the story. Both of them have amazing home theater experience.
As a matter of fact, we might be talking about Fury Road next week because I will probably pop it in the next day or two and give it a watch. So, because it's been a while since I've seen it, but I have seen the disc since I bought it. So.
Well, I've got the what is it? Now I have the chrome version
black
of that.
And chrome version.
And chrome that got updated to 4. They had it before on Kaleidoscape, but I don't think it didn't have Atmos, and maybe it wasn't 4K. And now it's got the full boat. That's been for a little while. I've had it sitting there, so I might go back on that too. I wasn't as impressed with that black and chrome as I was with Logan, and I've said that many times. Yeah. But this I mean, these are great movies, great home theater experiences. It's like, I mean, how do you not have these? These are kind of like must haves in your collection.
Yeah.
If you're history of, you know, Mad Max or anything. I mean, you think we come from the 70s to this, and I've said that on the show before too. And you're like, how the heck did we get here? But it's awesome.
It's, and you know, I'm with you, John. The first time I saw it at the cinema, I just took against Chris Hemsworth hugely because I just thought it was stupid and over the top and unnecessary. Yeah. But I have to say, I did a complete 180 on having then seen it at home. So if you do get around to rewatching, it'll be interesting to see whether you then kind of are a bit more prepared for it second time around. Cause I actually really responded to his character second time.
Really?
You get beyond the accent and then you see the tragedy of kind of what's unfolding. Yeah. You realize how ineffective and useless he is and he knows it. And it becomes to that realization as we get through it. And I actually really realized what he was doing second time around. First time, I just thought you were irritating the hell out of me.
Well, give spoilers necessarily, but obviously we know there'll be a showdown between the two characters at some point. Mm. And their kind of like ultimate showdown, I thought was pretty moving actually for a movie like this. You wouldn't expect I thought he had some great emotion. Like his portrayal of that scene was really good. So
yeah, there's some layered stuff in amongst the kind of the OTT silliness. There is some layered stuff to his performance. As I said, he's a very tragic character. Right. So it is good. And interestingly, today, talk about YouTube Shorts. I saw a YouTube short today that was asking him about that accent. And what he said was that the idea is that it's clearly in Australia and this way, you know, no messing around. And he said that the idea is this would have been in the future, way in the future. So it's a version of an Australian accent that he envisages that would have been in the future because it doesn't link to any particular part of Australia today.
Right.
It's not like it's a regional accent. But what he said was that also his grandfather used to talk exactly like this. And he said, so his grandfather would say, hey, come on out, kids. Let's go do this sort of thing. Yeah. You know, it'd be great. And he said, so he was doing there's a version of that as well, heightened because of what he did. So yeah, it has some meaning to him. It's not just a silly accent.
Right.
So yeah, no, it's good.
Well, how's that possible, Steve? I don't know.
Well, couldn't say.
Like you complain. And what was the Kiwi accent you didn't like in the middle of space?
Yeah, Ender's Game, yeah.
Spen Ender's Kingsley. Game. And I'm like, how do you know that's not accurate? It's in the middle of space.
Let's not go near there again.
I love going fairness, back there.
The Kiwi accent is really difficult. And what's the other movie? Everest. In that film, you have Keira Knightley is trying to do a Kiwi accent and also Emily Mortimer, maybe I might get that wrong, who's trying to do a Kiwi accent as well. And it is very difficult to do because it's much softer than an Australian accent, which is quite a broad, mate. You can do an Aussie all day long, whereas the Kiwi one has some softness to it. So it's tricky for people to do. But for Kiwis, such as myself, you know, I like it done properly.
Yeah.
Or else.
Yep.
And not shot in Spain.
There you go. And that's what's important. As long as we don't shoot it in Spain. So,
well, quite. Unless it's supposed to be Spain, then it's fine.
Right. No, that's where you – I don't want anything shot in Spain just to irritate you. Just to irritate you. We're going to do like something about the Spanish Inquisition. Tatooine. We're going to shoot it in Afghanistan.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's supposed to be Boston, and we're going to shoot it in Kabul.
Yeah, I wouldn't care. But, yeah. So – all right. Let's see. Now, I got a couple for you here. Oh, that didn't come in good. There we go. All right. Here we go. This is going to be fun. A little bit. Yeah.
You come to me on the occasion of my daughter's birthday.
Exactly. The Oscar nominated, Oscar winning. It's like,
it was.
Yeah.
It was Oscar nominated for effects, wasn't it?
And sound, I thought, didn't it?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I think it won for both. Yeah, it was Iron Man, wasn't it? Yeah.
And for people listening to the audio only podcast on Friday, we are talking Transformers from 2007, I believe.
Mm.
It wasn't it? 2007. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was 2007 because, it was before 08. which I have another movie for that. Obviously, 07 comes before 08, but I have my reasons later. Don't pick on me here. Jeez. My mind is not straight tonight. Okay, guys, I got a lot going on. But Transformers, I'm having a blast. I don't know if it's Dolby Vision. I don't know if it's the update to the Lumigen, but things are looking like I'm actually enjoying older stuff more now than I'm enjoying new stuff. And I'll get to that in with the other movie I'm going to talk about in a second. Because I'm seeing stuff that I was like, I didn't see before. And I don't give two craps if everybody goes, it's all in your head. Who cares? It's my head. It's supposed to be in my head and I'm enjoying it. So if it's all psych, whatever, who cares? I enjoy it. All right. But it's like this movie. I mean, it's Transformers. It's, you know, I mean, it's better than The Godfather in the theater. We've said it all. I mean, what else can we say? But the picture on this, it's amazing. Like there were things I was seeing in like Optimus Prime that it wasn't just impressive that I'm seeing them now. I'm sure they were there before. Maybe I just didn't notice them because I'm feeling like my brights are brighter. The contrast is better, whatever the update was, right? But there were like little blinky things going on behind him, like reflections in his chrome or whatever. But I'm sitting there and they're so minor. And I was like, why did they even put those in? And I love when I think that, like, nobody would know if those weren't there. But those little tiny blinky pieces that if you're in my theater, it's not even worth a timestamp because if I gave it to you, you wouldn't even know what I was talking about. Look on his shoulder and behind here and blah, and he's talking to such a, you got to see it for yourself. And I could show you. I'm like, why do they do this? I talk about that all the time with sound. Like, why do they put these pans in? Because most people are listening in mono on their phone or they're listening on a TV in the living room. But the detail in the, like at times, like the battle scars or the wearing on the metal and everything, that it was just beautiful watching the entire thing, seeing things I've never seen before, seeing the water droplets on them when they, cause you know, you're in the movies for some reason, every time there's a chase scene, the streets are always soaking wet, but it's never raining. It's like, it's just what happens. And the cars will have that little bit of water on them. And these digital cars had water on them. I was like, the detail was awesome. So much fun. And it led me into.
Well, just before we go, DJ, so you're saying, two thumbs up?
Absolutely. Two thumbs up. There we go. I give you a high five. There we go. Shout out to Fonzie. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah, we're not explaining that.
No. So moving on to my second movie here, Transformers 1. The animated feature from this year, which is the origin years before they became Optimus Prime and Megatron, two young Transformers work together on a mission to save Cybertron. That's in the little thing. I didn't just spoil it for everybody. And this is for animation is gorgeous. It is. It is absolutely gorgeous. The sound, it's not as dynamic as I would have liked. It doesn't have the deep end that I would have liked. I actually, went from this and jumped to a scene just to go back to just for fun. I'm jumping to something. But after this ended, I went and watched a little bit of The Dark Knight. And it's like, oh my God, that's so dynamic. You're like, oh, there's all my bass. I was like, okie dokie. And like, but that's, I mean, you go to anything after, you know, that's like, it's like going from Lucy to even that, you'd be like, wow, Dark Knight sounds flat, you know, compared to Lucy. But this one, it was good. It was really good. Really enjoyed it. But it wasn't one where you go, this is an Atmos track you've got to listen to. It's in Atmos, 4K, HDR, Dolby Vision, all of that. But I did, like I said, I did find myself going, this looks great. But does it? Is it that you get, because I got nothing to compare. I'm not seeing any improvements because it just looks good, right? It just looks great. And it's just so much fun when you see your old content or hear it and it gets blown up like that. Like, oh my God, I didn't even know this was there. Like when we were at, Cedia and Mike Schramm and I are sitting there and we heard that opening to, Fury Road. and you're like, that bass was, it's been there the whole time and I just heard it for the first time. And it's fun stuff like that that makes you, you know, that's where it's like people will say, you know, well, you're justifying the purchase, right? Well, Mikey and I heard that and we hadn't made a purchase. We're not justifying crap. We just literally heard it, right? Uh-huh. So, but even if it is, you just mentally justify, who cares? You made a purchase and you're getting more out of all of your content. That's awesome. That's what I want. It's like, isn't that what we're here for? And it's like, whether it's real or not, but I tend to think it is because we're so critical of ourselves and of the movies and stuff. It's like, you know, it just, but yeah, Transformers 1. I really like the story too. Have either of you guys seen it?
No.
No, I missed it in theaters and I've been looking forward to getting the disc because I'd heard from everyone that it's really good. I mean, I think Dave, hashtag Dork did a review of it and said it was really, really good.
Oh, did so they, I think did they most, do it this most, week? I haven't heard so. This week.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it was. I think I've heard them talk about it, but so many people have said it's good. I mean, the trailers to it looked dopey. I just couldn't get my head around why do I need to see a prequel? I don't need to see Optimus and Megatron when they were friends. You know, it just seemed kind of weird. And yet so many people have said it's really good that I was hoping the disc would be exceptional and, you know, all the rest of it, but I will buy it. I'm going to pick it up and see it. Cause I, you know, it, again, so many people have said it's good.
Yeah.
You kind of have to.
Yeah. It's a good, it's a really good movie. Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. it's a fun, I mean, it's a lot of fun to see the origin, kind of the origin story of these characters. And, yeah, it's, I mean, and then even the ending, you're like, okay, I want more. Whether we go with another, you know, animated feature like this, or we go back to the live action versions. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And that's why I started with the first one, be like, cause that's kind of between these two. But yeah, it's, you know, it's really, really good and a really good visual home theater experience. The sound is like, yeah, could have used a little lower on the low end. But really, really good. A lot of fun. Definitely worth having for sure.
And so if the Transformers from 2007 was Transformers 1, is this Transformers 1, 2?
What, huh?
Well, the first 2007 was Transformers 1.
Yeah.
And this one then must be Transformers 1, 2.
1.
But it was the first one. So it's Transformers 1. So this is Transformers 1, 2.
Yeah. Well, it just says, just so I know. Transformers. See, no one, Steve. Yeah, no one. Come on. Transformers don't let details also get in the way of a good joke.
In addition to.
Yeah.
Yeah, in addition to. Yeah. It's a prequel. So. All right.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I am looking forward to it. Jordan will help me out with that. When's it out here, Jordan? Can you bung us? Let me know in the chat, mate, when that's out. I'm hoping it's out here before Christmas.
Yeah. Let's see. What do you got? Do you want...
Should we do the one that you talked about previously, middle row, second from the right? Should we do that one if it's my turn again?
Second middle row, right. Second from there, the right. This?
Yeah. Yep.
There you go. Yeah, sure.
Okay. You'll have some views on this as well, Deej?
I got views, opinions.
I got views.
This is a funny one with the Christmas lights around it.
Yes, talk about one extreme to the other. So this then is The Crow, the 2024 remake of the erstwhile Brandon Lee classic. Was starring, Skarsgård, Bill Skarsgård, isn't it? Yeah. So remake 2024. Deej, you've already reviewed it on the show when it came out on Kaleidoscape a while back. And we've talked about The Crow a number of times this year because also they did the 4K version of the original. Strange movie, this one. This was my first watch of this. I didn't know what to expect. And I think I said these before when we talked about it, I wasn't planning on ever seeing this because the trailers had underwhelmed. It bombed at the box office and it just did not do much for me at all until you said it's actually worth seeing. So on the back of that, I bought it. The 4K disc. Mm-hmm. And so it's 4K, UHD, Dolby Atmos, all singing, all dancing. It's not a musical. That's a turn of phrase. And I then gave this a watch. a very odd film, very strange movie, very, very different to the Brandon Lee one, I think. And as from what I understand, that it's closer to the comic on which it's all based. But yeah, an odd film. And I'm not entirely sure what I thought of it. I don't quite know whether I really liked it or not. I haven't yet figured it out, and I watched it days ago, and I haven't still quite got my head around whether I liked it. It's got problems, definitely, where the love story, such as it is, just felt completely flat for me. I never felt that there was any kind of connection between the two characters that are supposed to be in love, let alone enough for one character to sacrifice himself to eternal damnation so that other character might go. That just went nowhere for me at all. Oh, it didn't help that one of the lead character looks like a client of mine who is not a fan. I'm not going to name him, but we're no fan of that client, and he looks just like him in this, and that was irritating me as well. But anyway, so that's not the film's fault. So the love story just feels completely flat to me. And that's the first sort of, half of the movie? It's much more of that than there is in the first one. In the first one, it's like, oh, Shelley and I are in love. Oh, she's dead. Right. Vengeance. You know, whereas that's the first one. You know, if you haven't got it 30 years from now, it's your own fault.
No, but that's the basis of the movie. It's like, die.
Whereas this, it's the first sort of half of the movie. It's all kind of trying to set up something that for me just didn't work at all. And so when he then kind of goes, vengeance is mine, and that's in the trailers, you're like, really? Okay, fair enough, if you say so. So that was a bit weird. However, once you get to the vengeance, it is at least a bit more interesting. I like the fact that, and I mean, DJ, you can tell me what you think of this. What I do like about it, and was an interesting choice, is that when he becomes the Crow, spoiler alert, I mean, you know, the name's there. So when he becomes that, although they never call him the Crow, but I'm assuming that's what he would be called. I like the fact that he doesn't become a martial arts or fighting expert at all.
No.
They don't give him any extra kind of skills. It's not like, you know, when as Peter Parker gets bitten by a spider, he's a, you know, he can fight really well.
It's John all just comes Wick with it. Without the magic suits.
John Wick can fight. Whereas this guy seems to be like he can, because he's really inefficient with a blade. He's terrible shot.
Yeah.
He just kind of stands there and gets shot. And I thought that actually.
But he just walks in and just. Walks through everything.
He's not very good at it.
No.
Yeah, and I actually thought that was quite good. I thought that was quite interesting that he's not even a brawler. He's still just as
more
kind of
realistic, if you could say that.
Right.
Well, And I thought that was interesting and much more kind of grounded, again, if you can even use that. So he's not suddenly, you know, can't leap 30 feet in the air, and he can't do, you know, roundhouse kicks, and he's not a crack shot, and he can't disembowel you. He actually is pretty bad at all that stuff. But because he's immortal, he can just carry on. And so flowing from that, you get the violence and you get the gore, which you talked about, which is gory. And that's, you know, always going to be interesting to me. So I found the back half of the movie much more interesting than the first half. The first half, I was like, I'm just not feeling this. And then the second half then brought me more to it, which is why I say I don't really know whether I liked it or not. I will definitely see it again, not for a while. But I will see it again. And I've kept it in the collection. It's on the shelf. You know, I'm not going to get rid of it, but I'm on the fence about it at the moment, a bit like a crow. so that's one thing. And I did just think of that. I swear. So, but what is very
he wants
good
credit
about
that
it?
He just thought of that? Okay.
Well, you know, I'm just proving that I haven't written it down.
He thinks on his feet.
I think you'd be more sad if you had.
What he said. Other way. There you go. There. Right.
I got a joke. Okay, I wrote this down earlier this week. So a crow sitting on a fence.
Yeah. Why did the crow cross the road? So in terms of what is good though, what is beyond kind of discussion, I think, is how good it looks and sounds. It's not, the video's not quite referenced for me. There are quite a few soft shots, probably quite deliberate. Again, it's the hazy love story thing, isn't it? So it's not quite as detailed as I would have liked in some things. Sometimes it's great, other times it's not. So that varies a little bit. So not quite referenced, but still very good. But the audio is fantastically good in this. The audio is referenced. I mean, every time there's a musical number, it's like the Rapture. you know, it's like
just like the first one. They really leaned into the music, the soundtrack of it, modernizing it, but still bringing you that same vibe.
So I really enjoyed that. I did like the soundtrack was good, and the audio was really good on it. I think it's a Lionsgate disc in the US, and you can tell, you know, everything's up to, again, as a critic says here, 11T stupid. You know, it's right up there. Everything's loud and kind of, you know, it's really thing. And that means that even if you're drifting off a bit with the love scenes, when the music kicks in, you're like, oh, okay, I'm awake now. Here we go. A strange movie. An odd film. And another movie, by the way, John, with Danny Houston as the bad guy in it. Mm. That's not a spoiler. It's in the trailers.
Right.
With 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
It's a strange one. I'm definitely on the fence about it. I'll see it again. And then I think I'll have more of an idea as to whether I like it or not.
It's funny because I liked the what you're on the fence about is what I actually enjoyed is like, I thought it was how you could still make the movie relatively the same length. You know, it's not substantially longer than the original, if at all. I think it is, but they did a better job of fleshing out the relationship. And I thought that was pretty cool. And like, and that's the part that it didn't resonate with you. And I was like, I thought it really did. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to get to what we all know is coming. You know, the rip-roaring rampage of revenge is what you're tuning in for.
You were there for the horror, not the love story. So come on, get to it. Get people dying appropriately, because if they don't die appropriately, you're not happy either. They've got to be dead enough.
Then there'll be different kinds of violence.
Yeah, exactly.
Real world violence. But I just think that in the first one, they actually thread that needle really quickly. I mean, Eric Draven, it's Draven, isn't it? Eric Draven, Shelley, you know, it's like, we're in love. How do we know they're in love? Well, because they say it. Okay. And there at least looks like there's some sort of devotion there. Whereas these two in this, for me, just look like they're just like two actors rocked up and they're like, right, you love him. Do I? Why? Yeah, because you do. All right. And you love her. Why? Because I say so. Brilliant. And action. And that kind of, and to me, that's how it came across. And again, I appreciate, as I said, he does look like one of my clients. So there's a certain level of trauma there. Because whenever we see this client, it's like, oh Christ, do we really have to deal with this? So there's a bit there. And the fact that he's in this sort of prison didn't help either. I didn't feel the love at all. I didn't feel that. And so when he then, you know, decides to do what he does, just felt weird to me. But again, maybe that'll all be fixed in the second viewing. It's happened before. Yeah. It may happen again.
I felt like the original was set up really quick and they're like, it was like their wedding eve or whatever. Or they were about to get married. So you knew that. It's like, that's all you had to know is like they were getting married. Whereas this one, they were more like unlikely, like lovers. They were more like they weren't supposed to be together. But fate will put you together regardless. And regardless of how you got together or you weren't even supposed, how were they supposed to get together? And then once they were, it was nothing can separate them. Right. Mm. And that was like, even death didn't separate them. And that's how I kind of read it because it wasn't as black and white as the originals, like literally. Black tux, white wedding dress. There you go. It's like, and now we'll go on with the killing, right? And then in this one, it's like, I mean, he literally came out in the first one. He had the black suit on. I mean, that's what he was buried in or whatever. But in this one, it was more, you know, like they were strangers and didn't know each other. Yeah. And then it was like kind of they melded together throughout that opening part. And it was like, you're like, why are they together? Who knows? But they were just literally destined to be together, but then torn apart by this. And then he just, you know.
I mean, the decision, I think, to make them strangers and then have them kind of do that just seemed unnecessary. You could have moved that along a couple of more stages and then made everything a bit more kind of just get with it, just get going. You know, we know kind of what the setup's going to be. Let's just have that, get that out of the way and move on. There was no chemistry I felt between them at all. None. If someone said they were both acting separately against green screen versions of themselves, I'd be like, well, that makes sense. Because that, you know, that's how little chemistry there seemed to be. And I'm not criticizing the actors. Bill Skarsgård's great. and he's, you know, he's very good. I think I've seen that actress before, but I'm sure she's very good. It's just in this movie, the way it's been structured and mounted, it just felt flat to me, and I didn't feel that. But again, it looked great and sounded great, so that got me through it. Otherwise, I would have just turned it off. So I did get through that, and once it does kick into gear and he does decide to you know, get his revenge, that was much more interesting. And again, I do like the fact that he's not even a brawler. He's actually really bad with a blade, really bad with a gun, and just the only reason he'd be dead in seconds if he wasn't immortal. I mean, he would have barely got through the front door.
Right.
Oh, and that's actually quite an interesting choice. So it's just odd.
Yeah. See, I like I said, it's like, yeah, I'm exact opposite. They weren't ever even supposed to meet. They weren't supposed to be together. He sacrificed everything. Mm. And it's, there you go. It, you know what I mean? They were fake. Yeah. And that's, it kind of probably is, isn't it in the original, like in the voiceover at the original, fate intervenes or whatever. It's something about fate. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what that was about. It was like, regardless of circumstances, fate will take over. And I think, and that's what, I don't know. That's why it resonated with me. I was just like, this is good. Especially the ending. I don't want to give it away. Like what happens and what it's, you know, and it's for that. It's So.
All right. I mean, it would have been very powerful had that chemistry been there. The decision that he ultimately makes was like, oh my God. But when you don't kind of feel that, it just sort of, you know, falls a bit flat. But there we go. But I am glad I've seen it. And again, I wouldn't have done without your
recommendation. I can't wait for you to see it again, because I'll come right back at you. With I'm like, did you get it now? Like, that's the point. Yeah, that they never got to be that way.
It would not be the first time.
All right. Exactly. All right. John, what do you got, buddy?
The daddy, the 4K daddy, surely.
Yeah, let's hit that. There we go. This is another. I'm sorry, I'm laughing already. You ready, John?
I'm ready.
All right.
So this was Pacific Rim, 4K disc. This did not have Dolby Vision. It's 4K HDR with Dolby Atmos. So apparently I'm the last guy in the hobby to own this disc, because I just got this.
It's again. A lifestyle, John.
I know. I just got this as part of the Black Friday sales drop this past week. Now, I did not see this in the theater back in the day, but I've seen this movie a handful of times. Maybe not so popular opinion, but I've always thought the movie was just okay. Like, I don't think it's like, what? I never loved it, you know? maybe it was the fact that I've really only ever seen it streaming, on whatever size TV I had at the time. But I, like I said, it's fine and it's fun, but I never really loved it. Until I watched this 4K disc.
Oh, the delivery system.
The delivery system. I mean, this disc, and again, I'm so late to the party. Everybody here listening to this show has seen this already, I'm sure. This is the disc of the decade for me. Like this is stunning picture and sound. Reference sound from second one to the end credits. And to me, again, this is an example where the quality of the disc elevates this movie to like top tier status. I had such a good time watching this. And again, the story is the story. And again, it's fine. It's always been fun, but I don't know, for some reason, never just really loved it. But I will come back to this movie again and again and again, because if you haven't seen this disc, it is just hard to describe how good it is. It couldn't be disc of the year, because this movie came out 11 years ago. But better than Furiosa, I think. Better than anything else I've talked about in a long time. It is just...
It has everything.
Again, for for a home theater experience, this movie has everything you want it to have. And again, the picture, you know, again, I'm getting a little spoiled with the Dolby Vision. This doesn't have it. I didn't miss it here. Like it is stunning. The picture is so good. The HDR is like I said, it is unbelievable. And the sound just, like you just put this on, like I could put it on and turn the picture off and just lay back and listen to it. You know, cause it is so good. So
have you seen the 3D version, John?
No. Oh.
I can't remember if the 4K version comes with the 3D version.
I don't think so. Cause I didn't notice that, it's only one disc. This doesn't come with any. No, I'm sorry. There was a Blu-ray with it too, but I don't know if it had the 3D or not.
If you can get hold of the 3D one, right, this is one of those rare exceptions, a bit like Avatar and a bit like, Dread, where the 4K is absolutely top tier. But the 3D is still worth a watch as well.
Okay. I'll see if it's there.
Cause all of the computer screens, all that sort of stuff is all in 3D space and looks very, very nice in 3D. Okay. And I say that knowing that I prefer 4K all day long.
I've never owned this other than now. Like I've only ever seen it in, you know, whether HBO or Netflix, wherever it would have been streaming is the only place I've seen this movie. So,
well, if you, like I said, if you get a chance, even if you borrowed the 3D from someone, it's worth just giving it a watch. Cause it does give you a different dimension on the film. Literally. But no, I mean, there's no doubt that the disc is as reference a 4K disc as I think I've ever seen or heard. I love this movie and I've loved it. This again, any movie with robots hitting giant creatures.
Right.
Again, forget Pacific Rim. Just call it Steve's movie.
Well, and again, it should be that for me too. Like, I don't know why it wasn't, because this is everything I love about anything. You know what I mean? I am a child of Voltron and
Guy King,
you know,
Oh my God.
I mean, I was weaned on this stuff, but I don't know why it never really connected with me, but it definitely did this time around. Yeah. So
Guillermo del Toro is just, he loves this stuff as well. And he's an ultra, ultra geek. He makes all of us look like complete novices at this.
Right.
And this is just, does feel like someone just playing with toys. You know, just think, and you've got in any movie where someone gets smashed about the head with a giant ship,
right?
Careful how I say ship, is just, you know, you can't not love it.
Yeah.
And again, not that 2013 was like super long ago, but I mean, it is 11 years old now, but I mean, the visuals hold up. Like it could have been made yesterday, you know, like they really did a great job with it. You know, like I said, it holds up today. So
this is the standalone that almost broke me.
Oh, really?
I did it. Oh yeah. You don't remember, like, cause I used to timestamp.
Oh like, yeah.
And I would timestamp it. And then I got to this and movie. I was like, what the hell? It's like a really good movie would be like 40 timestamps. And then when I went back through it, I'd filter it out and maybe get it down to 30 or something like that. Right. This movie, I was like, it was something like 62 times.
Yeah, it's like time stamps. It's like 0001.
What? Yeah, exactly. So what I did
is 2 hours, 11 minutes and 59 seconds.
This is the first one. And what I used to do when I did the show is I would timestamp it and like, I would timestamp it on my phone. And then I would go back through and I'd watch it. And when I got to what I thought was like, I really got my groove in, the show would, I'd record the show here, and my theater, as John knows, is like right around the corner. So I'd run in the room now with the timestamps, watch the scene, run here and sit down and say it, right? And so I would rewatch the whole movie. It would take like 2.5-3 hours, right? So I'd have 2.5-3 hours of a recording, but I'd edit out all the dead time when I was in the other room and then bring it down to whatever length the show would be, right? This show broke me. I'm like, there's no way I'm running back and forth that many times. So I literally took the entire podcast studio, brought it into the room, put it in front of me and went, here we go. Listen to that episode. And I'm like, I'm in the room.
The whole podcast should have just been the audio of the movie from start to finish.
Your own commentary.
It's legitimately, it's the only movie I've ever done that on. And it was like, that's what you had to, because there was no scene. It never stopped. And it was just like everything was dynamic. Everything's moving around the room. And then I started talking about like, all right, I think I ended up doing the show instead of about all the loud stuff. I go, let's talk about the little stuff. Right. Let's try to find that's the lesser
about what's
side.
Not reference.
Right. Yeah. But it actually turned out to be like when there was a scene I remember distinctly where the little helicopter goes by in the little window, like the bunker window in the background. And they're in like almost like a, I don't want to say like a boardroom because it's all like brick and stone and everything. But you see in the bunker window way in the background, you see a helicopter go by and it goes by on your screen. But then it's outside. It goes off the out of the window shot. And so now it's still outside, but it goes right around the room while they're talking. And you're like all the way around the room. But it's like they didn't have to do that. It's not, it doesn't have to be there because you didn't even have to put the sound of that tiny little helicopter way off in the distance out a window that they had it go left to right or right to left across your screen, whatever. Right. And it's like, that was the little stuff I was trying to find in this movie. It's insane. Yeah. It's insane. Uh-huh. It's overwhelming, yeah, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like I said, I just kind of had a big grin on my face the whole time, like,
yeah,
just sit back and I really had a great time watching this. I loved it. So
yeah, and it is one, like John, like you said, like turn the screen off and then you just sit in your room and do this.
Yeah.
Like you're looking around the room for the audio only people on Friday. I'm looking all around the room. Right. Like, you're looking around at, you're looking behind you, you're looking over your head, you're like, and it actually helps you focus on that. I've told that many times on the show. I've done that a lot. Like you shut the screen off and just listen to scenes,
right?
And you were like, oh my god, listen to that. Yeah, it's, yeah, and this is one of those where you could do the whole entire movie. But yeah, yeah, so good. All right, sorry, too much.
No, it's worth it. That movie, I mean, again, it is a must own.
Yeah, and it's $10.99 right now on Amazon. Oh. So.
Yeah,
it's a steal, isn't it?
Let's see. What else do I have here? Did I? All right. We'll go with this one because it'll probably, the next one will come up next week. Here we go.
Is it that time of year again?
This isn't even one of them, but two is. Okay. So I started with this one. This is, like I said earlier, from 2008. And after doing Transformers, I figured I got to do this because there's got to be technology that was taken directly from Transformers to the original, the very first Marvel Studios movie, Iron Man. And if this flops, we've got nothing, guys. We got nothing. There is, you know, if this flops the way the next movie did, which was, The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
That flopped. Mm. If this one flopped like that, we probably don't have anything.
And we don't have an MCU.
The whole world
yeah.
right now is like, thank God I could do without that. But, yeah, the original, the original Iron Man from 2008, 4K, Atmos, HDR, Dolby Vision, all of that. And watching this again with the updates and seeing the stuff like, the gears inside the something I saw like the first time that he suits up in the what is it Mark 3, which would be the red and gold, the first time he really gets into that, they go into all the detail I never saw before. His skin tight, like whatever he's wearing, you could see it through the stuff, like you could see the texture there, and I'd never noticed that before. And again, I don't know if it's all in my head and I'm being hyper realistic just looking for this stuff, but the detail there was awesome. The original Mach 1 design, everything in the cave at the beginning of this movie was stunning. The deep blacks, the color, I mean, that's a dark, dark scene. Then he comes out and people are like shining and you're shining. I mean, it was really, really good. The sound on this, I've had people talk about like, the bass was better on the original Blu-ray than it is now on the Atmos. I love it. I love this. When he's chasing down those, what are they, raptors or whatever, And then he ends up on the belly of the detail that you see there on his mask, on the heads up display of them chasing him, looking at the heads up display and how crystal clear they're seeing him through their heads up display. But then you look on either side of it, it's like blurred because it's just the canopy, and the canopy's a little, gorgeous. And this is 2008, and it just, again, that's what I love. Like when we first started doing the show, or Steve, when you joined the show, I should say, and it's like, we should schedule it. It's like, I love like how our brains work. And like, I went from Transformers. I'm like, I need to see Iron Man again, 'cause I know I'm going to go to two. And I like just, and where it all came from, how I, you know, the Marvel universe started, but the detail, I want to go watch this again right now. It was that much fun. The detail and everything that I saw in it. And, when was the last time you guys saw it?
Oh, it's years.
Yeah, when they released them in 4K, then that's the last time I saw it.
2 years ago,
I
mean,
I don't even know that I've watched my disc, to be honest with you.
Your 4K?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I've even watched it.
I watched it a bunch.
I have.
Well, that's why I said it's at that time of year again, because you watch this at least once a year.
At least once a year. It is one of my favorite Marvel, because it is the original, but I love the movie. The whole movie itself, but then seeing it for the amount of times I've seen it, and then to be able to pull it out again and go, holy crap. Like it's like, I'm still seeing improvements. And you know, when you're upgrading stuff, it's like, if you haven't seen it in 4K yet, John, you might really be blown away.
Oh, I'm sure I will. System. I just always have something. Well, although I've been complaining about not having a lot to watch lately, but it just always feels like there's something I haven't seen yet. And I never really find the time to go back and rewatch things that I already seen. And, you know, I've got like 25% of the discs I own, I've never watched. So at least 25% of them, you know,
maybe more.
I just buy them, unwrap them and put them on the shelf. And I'm trying to be better at that now and not putting them away until I've watched them. But, but I bought so many at one time in the beginning that they all just got put on the shelf and that's it. I never watched any of them. So,
but then that's cool now then, isn't it? Cause now it's like famine to feast and you're like, right now I can watch these, watch that. You
know, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
But though I've seen them when it came out in 4K was the last time I saw it. Cause I always remember the Blu-ray being the audio on the Blu-ray I thought was a little underwhelming at times, whereas that all got fixed in the 4K disc. And it's really, really good, but it's such an easy film to watch. You don't require any investment of your time or even attention to watch this. It's just comfort food in the best way.
Yeah.
So it's a great movie and I get why you'd watch it every year. It makes perfect sense. Very, very
good. Yeah. sorry. Let's see. What do we want to do, Steve? Oh, we got 41. What do you want next, Steve, buddy?
Far right in the middle. Far right in the middle. Yeah. Well, right I here? Can turn you both off while we're talking about it. Down. No. Back up. Go back. Bottom now. Far right. That's it. I think that's one there. You just had your cursor over it. I think that's it.
This?
No. Go further to your right. There are five pictures there. The one that's next to the crow on the right, to the right.
Where the heck am I looking? Celebrity Squares. I think we're behind each other. That's the problem.
There's one to the right of the crow. That one. There you go.
There we go. Yeah,
I think you both off.
There's a delay to what you're seeing.
Let's both off.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Not for the reason you think.
Yeah.
Okay, so this then is House of the Dragon, Season 2, 4K UHD discs in Dolby Atmos. Okay, now, I need to tell you both off, okay, because I've got a bone to pick with you both.
Uh-oh. I love this,
gents.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
Why, did we not force you to watch it right away?
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew it. I knew that's where it was going to go. Because there's no way.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Right now, I'm four episodes in. Okay. I've not finished it yet. So we're halfway in. So spoilers, avoid, please.
Right.
Four episodes in. And I remember you guys saying it's really, really good. Okay.
And I don't have the disc really either. Good. I've only seen it on HBO.
Yeah. So. Well, so I remember you guys saying the series is really good. But what you didn't say is it's really, 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 really good. Right. And you should have done.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is fantastic up until up until where I've got to. It is awesome. And some of the best TV writing and acting, I think, of just about any series I've seen on television. It is phenomenally good as a series thus far, right, as a second season, as a follow-up to the first one. Now, I did rewatch the first season and then went straight into this, had a blast with the first season, very easy to rewatch, and then went straight into this. There are scenes in this, there are sequences in this that are the epitome of television writing. A particular sequence in episode two between Rhys Effins, the young actor playing Aegon, and you've got Sir Criston there. Right. This is an entire sequence. It's a discussion about war strategy and about youth and age. And it is just, it's like watching a play. And almost like a Shakespearean play in the way it's being delivered. Every line is delivered perfectly. If Rhys Effins doesn't win an Emmy for this, something's really gone wrong.
Right.
It is exceptionally done. And
it was largely panned by a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, because people were saying, you know, it's really talky,
right?
And there's not a lot of action.
And it is talky. Yeah.
Yeah. But when the talking and the dialogue is this well delivered and well produced, who cares? You know, every line has interest, has emotion and heft, and you can see the tragic arc that is unfolding and where this is going. Yeah. It's awesome. And the idea of the dragons as a cipher for nuclear weapons, this idea of if we send them in, we all die. There's mutually assured destruction. And I love how that's been developed. And this idea of, no, we're going to hold it back. And you're dealing with the rush to war and those that are saying, you know, this is basically the whole thing's a cipher for the beginning of the First World War.
Right.
And I am loving every second of it. And it's not just me, because I'm watching it with someone else who is like, oh my God, it's incredible as well. It's not literally just me.
Yeah. No, and so I loved it.
I wish I'd seen it months ago. Although I do like that I can see one after the other, I must admit.
Right. Yeah.
Not having to wait a week is good. So, in terms of the story, it's fantastic. And the only thing better than that is how it looks and how it sounds.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness me. This again, I think the video is not a significant leap over how great the first season looked, but it is very good indeed. I mean, the armor, the clothing, the weaponry, the detail levels on it are ludicrous. And I was saying to the person with whom I was watching this, and was saying, you know, a tour through the House of the Dragon prop department would be like a 3-week experience, and you'd be like, just leave me here. I'm just going to stare at this chest piece for 3 hours, because of the intricate detail on each of these things is fantastic. And the 4K brings it out, you know, to no end. The black levels, the shadow detail is exceptional. It is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And is distracting, but in a good way, not in a bad way. You find yourself staring open mouthed at some of the stuff on here. So Jordan says, so he loved House of the Dragon season two, tried telling you that season two was worth watching immediately, but you insisted on waiting. All right, Jordan. All right.
Yeah.
You know, he left scores elsewhere.
I read that.
I thought I'd put that up there, because John and I are both saying the same thing. We're like, did we not say it enough? I'm like,
we
got to come to your house and bash you upside the head with your
I will also reiterate the penguin, but
yeah, exactly.
So when you do see the disc, you can't tell me that I didn't tell you.
Which, by the way, I didn't put images. I've only watched a couple of episodes so far. Got on Kaleidoscape. Amazing.
Oh, is it out on Kaleidoscape already?
Yeah. Good.
Oh yeah.
But it's out here early in the new year, I think.
Is February.
January, February, something like that. Yeah.
February,
Can't wait. But so looks great. And then you get the audio. It's so good. There are both in terms of, and again, I'm only four episodes in. I don't think I've got to your one yet, Deej, with the sound dropping out.
And is it 8 or 10?
Oh, yeah, that scene's awesome.
It's 8.
Yeah, it's 8 episodes.
Was it 9? Yeah, 8. Yeah, it's 8. So I haven't got to that bit yet.
Around the table. Yeah.
Yeah. But what there is both overt and then sort of under the line audio, which is just so cleverly done. The opening to episode 3, I think it is, takes place on Harrenhal. And the whole thing is you've got Daemon with the dragon landing there, and it's in the middle of a storm. And there's an extended sequence where he's walking around this deserted castle as the rain is lashing down. And I think every possible type of rain effect is used in this, what I think is about a 5 or 6 minute sequence of him just wandering around a castle. And it really does feel like there's water running down the walls of the cinema room, and you could hear the rain right above it. We've had quite a bit of rain here recently, and it really did feel like, well, it's going off outside. It is just exceptional. So you get that kind of stuff. You get the swooping of the dragons, as you always do, and they sound amazing. But you then also get the subtlety that there are a number of times, and again, it is talky, and there are a number of times in this, and again, I think it's episode 2 and a bit in episode 3, we're on Dragonstone. Firstly, there's a scene between Rhaenyra and someone else, and they're talking. And as they're talking, you can hear seagulls, which is not uncommon, but you can hear the waves lapping on the beach as well. And it's buried in the mix, but you can hear them off to the right on the right wall. And then it shifts to King's Landing, and you can hear it again. That audio motif of the waves lapping on the shore and the seagulls in the distance is there again, and it's under the dialogue. You could miss it entirely. You're not watching this in a surround sound thing. You'd never even know it was there. But it adds part to this because it's saying these two places are in the same position, both metaphorically and literally. They're both in this particular geographical location and this particular issue that they've got. And I thought it was exceptional. And as this was going on and this started, I was just found myself listening to kind of how far away the waves kind of, how they ebbed and flowed. Yeah. And it's transfixing, it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. As I say, this series is better than season 1. And I loved season 1. This is just that plus. I'm loving it so far. And the only thing stopping me from just devouring all four remaining episodes in one go is other person that needs to have time to see it too.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's so, so good. I'm quite happy. This is a series. You could have two people sat in a room talking for 8 episodes, an hour long each, and I will not complain once with this quality of writing. I love how this is. Although, one other thing. During that sequence in episode 2, as I say, between Rhys Effens and Egon, what is funny, one thing that did occur to me is that the writing's fantastic, but there is a point where Rhys Effens approaches the camera and he's just delivered a very impassioned speech. And so you've got the camera here and he's right up, it's a close up, and he clearly is aware you can't ever look into the camera. And so he's right in this though, and you can see him rather dramatically looked bottom left and then turn bottom right like that. So he's not looking at the camera. And I thought that was quite funny. And it did take me out of it very briefly because he's clearly trying to show despair and show his kind of his frustration. But he's so close to the camera that he can't, he's got to do that. And then he's going to do that. And it was just quite funny. But anyway, that's what sort of things that go through my head. But nevertheless, it's awesome. It really is good. And I love this. So again, guys, telling you off, okay, really, really good. It's not enough. Should have been really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
And then I would have been more prepared.
It would have been if 3 of us were saying it, but unfortunately it was like 2 of us saying it's really good. So you got it's really, really good. And you're like, it should have been really, really, really good.
Apparently Jordan was the number 3 though. So
apparently, yeah. It's like, it wasn't enough.
So it was really, really, really good.
Multiple countries are telling you, multiple people. It wasn't enough. But now it's like, okay, everybody. Now that Steve knows, okay, go get it.
It's really cubed.
It was really, really good.
But the only thing is, again, I don't know how it might not have had the same impact if I'd viewed this in 2 channel
stereo. I can see one too.
46 inch TV rather than, seeing it on a 75 inch screen in Atmos in 4K. I wonder how much of that you know, does affect it. Again, your delivery system. And if I watch this when it's broadcast, that's how I'm watching it. 46-inch TV, two-channel stereo because of the – we don't have – well, Max is here, isn't it? But they're still being shown via a place, thing called Sky and Now TV over here, which I don't have. So I have to subscribe to the app, and it's like two-channel stereo, and it's –
I watch them with no Atmos and no 4K. Same thing with the Penguin. So I'm looking forward to it. But I'm definitely looking for, I didn't realize this disc came out already.
House of the Dragon?
It's probably been out for weeks. I don't know. I didn't realize.
It came out here, I think last week here.
Oh, okay.
And it would have been about the same there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. And also, by the way, it does come with some quite cool things in the package. You get some quite nice little art card things. And also what is, which is quite good, is they also have the names of the characters on the back. So that's quite handy. If you started to lose the names of the characters, they're on the back, which is nice of them to do.
You can be like trading cards. You need them with some of these shows.
So it's all on there. And then you also get a little booklet that actually breaks down some of the episodes, which they haven't always done as well. And that can be, you know, problematic. But this does it. It's great. It's so, so good.
This has it all. It really does.
Exactly that.
But it has, like you said, it has great. I mean, the season one has a demo scene for HDR that I've talked about in the past. I think. I forget which episode it was, maybe 6 or 7. When he walks through the like the caves or whatever, or the catacombs to the dragon, and how dark it is. And anytime I upgrade anything with my projector and my display, I go right to that. That's why it's sitting there. I mean, that takes up a ton of space on the kaleidoscope because it's the whole season, but I won't drop it because I need that scene at any moment to be testing my stuff.
With Damon and Rhaenyra walking on the beach as well. I think it's the same episode, probably the next scene after the one you're talking about. That's also a demo, a demo scene.
It's certainly a calibration test scene, isn't
it? Well, for sure. It is. Cause when I watched it on the TV, I couldn't tell that cloak was purple, you know, until I got the disc and watched it on the disc. And I was like, oh, look at that.
It's even like that scene in that, like you see his outfit, you see the dragon come in, you see it. It's kind of like the bass notes in like we were talking about earlier in Fury Road. Like I never saw that before. You see the dragon earlier than you saw before.
Right.
Because it was so dark and it comes in so gradually, like, oh my God. And I mean, it's just, they're very, very difficult scenes to do, period. And if your system isn't up to it, you get all that crushing and everything that goes on, which is the reason I ended up with the Lumigen is because I was getting all that with my streams. And to be fair, the Panasonic was doing a great job with the disc. But what it was doing is it was reducing that. It was taking that away so you didn't get the crushing, right? So I wasn't getting it anyways, but I thought I saw everything and everything was great.
Right.
But then when you're able to see everything, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And the second season, same thing. The nighttime, the deep blues in those night scenes and those skies and how they, and the brights that they, it's for shooting this for streaming is awesome. And then getting it here, in 4K disc, it's great. Now, I will say though, the Penguin is not the same. You're not going to be walking away going, it's the full boat. You're like, oh my God, the picture, the sound. It's not. The Penguin is just, it's flat out the writing.
It's the writing and the story. Yeah.
The picture and sound are nice and they're improved on the disc. And from what I've seen on the kaleidoscope, it's crisper. The dynamic range in the picture is better, but it's not to this level because it just doesn't lend itself to that.
Right.
But the story, the writing, everything you're saying, Steve, you're going to be like, oh man, this is, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of The Sopranos. I didn't watch it live, but this is, you're going to be like, this is what The Sopranos should have been. This is The Sopranos point.
I've never seen it.
Well, The Sopranos was excellent TV too. So I won't say that, but Sopranos was good enough as what it was already.
I've never seen The Sopranos.
Oh man.
Not a single episode.
I just rewatched it last year.
So I'm looking forward to it. And of course, the beauty of The Penguin is it gives me another excuse to watch The Batman. Having only watched it relatively recently. So to watch it again before that comes out will be great. So yeah, I'm really looking forward. I mean, that one, you know, I'm not going to suggest you undersold The Penguin because you made that very clear. But again, I do want to wait. I'm being good. I'm not going to, you know, again, I've had access to a screener of it. Someone I know said, oh, look, you know, you can have that, but it's like, no, look, I'll wait for 4K. And it's when you then get this kind of quality for House of the Dragon season two, you're like, well, yeah, you do kick yourself for not having seen it sooner, but you're also thinking, but now I get to see it like this.
Right.
And it's just exceptional. It really is. Again, I know today it seems we're only talking about must buys, it seems, but you know, to me, it's a must buy because it's, if you like the world, you've got to owe it to yourself to see it. You really do. And so, yeah, very cool indeed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. And what, we're right at it. So there we go. Look at that. Yeah. So, all right. We'll just wrap it up from there because we only got 2 minutes. And I mean, the other one I had was Dune Prophecy, which I was going to say, I could say we could hold it till next week, but it's kind of all the same. I mean, the picture sound on that, check it out if you haven't yet. And I think you'll be really excited, really happy about the home theater experience of that. Sean and I, we'll talk next week. We have a little differing opinion on story, I think. We're not 100% sure, right, Sean?
Well, yeah. No, we're sure.
No, I'm saying, am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct.
That we have a different.
Okay. Yes, yeah.
Okay. Well, we might have double next week then.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. But yeah, so thank you to everybody. Tomorrow morning, if you're listening on Friday, you probably already know, but Tuesday's Takeover Tuesday. I'm going to be recording shortly, and it will have the winners in it. I'm going to record that really quick in a little bit. But the winners from Movember and all the giveaways. But thank you to everybody that donated, everybody that participated. Like I said at the beginning of the show, it's like we donated, the show ended up giving over $1,500 to, Ryan Davies' Movember cause. So it's, really excited for that. Really happy everybody, you know, really chipped in and it more than I thought it was going to be. Like I said, we did 500 last year for our little show here. I think that's really good, and hopefully next year we can do even better because, I mean, now we have even a higher goal, a loftier goal. But like I said, if we prep a little, if I could do a little bit more ahead of time and get things going, we'll maybe raise more money even before we kick it off and at the beginning of November. So, all right, do it for this week. Anything else from you guys?
Nope.
See you next week on the normal day next week, Tuesday. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Back on Tuesday next week. Yeah. Same bat channel, same bat time, right?
That's right.
There we go. Haven't said that in a while. All right. Till next week, you know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said.
That's right.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.